Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, God is so good, and He's so good to you here tonight. You believe that?
Yes.
You're a really good looking group. Yes, it's God. Worship was tremendous. With our sisters there. We loved it really close to the Lord in that. Loved it very much. Hallelujah. Well, the brother asked if I'd been a. We specified about a 10-minute message or so. I'm really gonna. But anybody that knows me is laughing so bad. somewhere in here, I got to figure this out because some of it's for tonight, and then I got to share something else that isn't on here instead. So I got to kind of work my way through this, okay? Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord a moment. Father, we just come in your presence now in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just feel your presence here tonight and your love. And Lord, you have come in these people. Hallelujah. Lord, we didn't come here to seek for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came here with us.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just ask that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, rise up inside of us tonight. And Lord, he would quicken, or in other words, he would give life. And he said to our mortal bodies, Lord, I just believe right now in the name of Jesus for a strengthening and an equipping and an enlarging and a moving in the lives and bodies of these people here tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. And the brother was talking to me. I said, what are you looking for, brother? And so he preached to me for about 10 minutes. So I thought, I can use all that. Sure. Yeah. But I'm not going to use any of it. Lord took me to the New Testament. And I could probably use my 10 minutes up in reading this couple of verses here, so bear with me for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts 12. Hallelujah. 1 through 17. You can think it off for it. Lord. Yeah, that's something. Have you noticed today that you can go to church and not hear anybody read the word?
Yes.
I have a problem with that myself. I mean, I think I have a lot of interesting things to say, a lot of good experiences to share, and that's all good. I can really have a good time with things, but it's good to hear the word, okay? Okay, now, what the Lord wants to point out here is that the earnestness of prayer, and we'll get into it as I get it. Okay, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to capture and take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four, okay, quaternions of soldiers, and that's basically four soldiers apiece, or 16 soldiers, to watch over him, to tend to him after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now we're going to talk about you for a second, okay? The Lord wants me to address those who actually feel like they're called to be intercessors here tonight. We all pray. But I believe that there's also such a thing as a calling for an intercessor. Mm-hmm. Like, I pray, but I would never pass myself off as an intercessor. Mm-hmm. I pray all the time, but you tell me to pray on a certain subject for the next 2 hours, it'd be 10 minutes and I'd be... Yeah, it's okay. I'm not an intercessor, I'm sorry. But there are intercessors, Carly. And as a pastor, I've come to appreciate my intercessors.
Yeah.
All right? Glory to God. Okay. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. So there were those who went into prayer for Peter in the church. At that time, the churches were in the houses. Okay? So they were in the houses and they were praying for Peter. Something would happen. Okay? Praying for his release, praying for his protection, praying for, I don't know what all they were saying when they were praying, but they were praying, okay? And what they were expecting was he was probably going to be put to death. So it was pretty fervent prayer. All right? Because Herod was on a roll. All right? And he was killing people and people were applauding him. So he was on a roll. Okay? So, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, everybody say same night.
Same night.
Same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Mm-hmm. That's probably a little uncomfortable. Bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined into the prison. And he smote or slapped Peter on the side. And raised him up, literally picked him up, saying, "Arise, get up quickly." And his chains fell from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, put your clothes on, and bind on thy shoes, thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and you need to follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. In other words, he wasn't sure if he was having a dream or if this was really going on. All right? That which was being done by the angel, but thought maybe he was viewing a vision. This is really good. It'd be nice if this was true. Yeah, okay. So, they were past the first and second ward. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Okay. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed or left him. And when Peter was come to himself, well, that's kind of nice. It's kind of like he's standing there, he's thinking, kicks the dirt, little breeze hits him, scratches himself, looks around, and thinks, "I really am in the street." Yeah. Golly, this is real. Okay. So.
Hallelujah.
I got to look here. I lost my place. He said, Now I know. Surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Remember, it's what's said in the beginning. They went into prayer for Peter because they thought, there went James, you know. And the next day, there was going to go Peter. Okay? And so they went into prayer. Thank God for people who will pray for you.
Amen.
And who will remember you.
Amen.
Not just have supper and go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to be all right. What? He's dead. You know, thank God for people who will pray for you and see you through.
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And so Peter knew where this was. So as Peter, now I've got to talk to us about us for a moment. Oh, us people with so much faith, so much expectancy. You know, this is going to happen, and God, that's going to happen. And listen to us, if we're all in one accord, we're just shouting and carrying on to beat the band. You know, we know exactly what's going to take place. Well, guess what? Peter shows up the door, and a damsel came and hearkened. Her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter, "Get up, everybody. Peter's here." Okay. And they said unto her, "You're mad. Go away. We're praying for Peter."
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they listened to him. "Oh, God, set him free. Oh, God, open up the gates. Oh, God, send an angel. Oh, God, by thy mighty hand. Oh, God, we know you. We trust in you. Oh, God, there's a knock at the door. Who is it? Peter." I don't believe it. Come on now.
That's true.
Yeah, that shoe fits. Put it on. Yeah. Put it on twice.
Right.
Okay. I don't believe it.
Okay.
Now where am I? Okay. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed, "No, it's him. I'm telling you, it's him. It's him. Hello, hello. It's him. It's him." Okay. Then they said, "Okay, then maybe his angel's here." okay? But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished.
Yes.
Oh my word, you're here. How did this happen? Glory to God. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Okay, look here a minute, see what I wanted to say about that now. Okay. The New Testament believers faced persecution with fervent prayer.
Yeah.
All right? The situation looked impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
If you're praying about something, it's probably because something is impossible, all right, that you need to happen.
That's right.
Or why are you praying?
That's right.
Okay? So you're trying to, you want something to happen.
Yeah.
You're trying to undo something. You're trying to make something happen. All right?
Yeah.
Peter also was taken and guarded by 4 squadrons or 16 soldiers. Yet the early church lived by the conviction that the prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. As they prayed intensely and persistently of Peter's situation, the Spirit of God was unleashed. An angel was sent and delivered him out of the hand of his enemies.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay? Okay, now, so what we see here is an example of how it worked. Okay, what was taking place. It also shows the humanity of, oh, I believe, but Lord help me believe. Because I think I believe. Don't I believe? Yeah, I believe. I believe. Don't I believe? I think I believe. I want to believe. You know, even nobody knows what I'm talking about, but this is my personal struggles. Yeah, glory to God.
Glory.
We see, however, that even the early church sometimes was surprised when God miraculously intervened.
Amen.
Glory to God. Instead of being surprised when God does do something, we should come to the place in our lives when we are surprised and amazed when He does it.
That's right.
See, that's what real faith is.
That's right.
It doesn't doubt. Matter of fact, you need to doubt your doubts.
Mm-hmm.
Believe your faith, doubt your doubts.
Amen.
Satan is the author of your doubts. God is the author of your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The New Testament churches are often engaged in prolonged corporate prayer. Those who have the calling of intercession sense a God-given burden to labor in prayer for a specific situation.
Yes.
Now, if you're an intercessor, that's what comes upon you.
Yes.
All right? You get a burden. You may get it in the middle of the night. You may get it driving your car.
Mm-hmm.
You may just, something will come to you. And the best thing for you to do to learn what to do is when a name comes into your head, especially at a time that's not what's on your mind. All right? And the way God likes to operate is when it's not convenient for you either.
Amen.
God could care less about your convenience.
Yes.
All right? He needs you when He needs you.
Yes.
All right? And they, whoever need you when they need you. Okay? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I got to find my place. Jesus once said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yep.
Fasting. Now I got to throw something in here. I got one comment, but I'm going to have to comment a little bit. Lately I've been preaching and teaching on fasting. Been down at Brother Dean's church just the other night. And I was sharing with my own congregation this morning. God's been talking to me a great deal about what I call the missing element, which has a lot to do with why we don't see things happen in the way or the magnitude or as often as we would like to.
Yep. That's right.
And it's something we don't want to hear and we don't want to practice and we're not even sure we need to.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is you were commanded to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. So, fasting and prayer are essential forms of worship.
Yes.
We all like to. But that's not eat for the next 4 days. That's worship? Yep. It's a faith builder too, which we all need. Glory to God. Okay. In fact, where there is little prayer and fasting, there is little faith.
Amen.
And where there is much prayer and fasting, there is much faith.
Amen.
Fasting itself is called prayer without words.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Okay, now I've got some things I didn't know I was going to say. Now, okay, Matthew 17, the man brought his son to Jesus. Well, he brought his son to the disciples of Christ, and the boy was having seizures, and, well, not going to go through it all. Anyways, he asked the disciples to help him, and they prayed, and they could not get it accomplished. All
right?
And so, when the man saw Jesus coming, he ran to him, and he spoke to him. Anyways, Jesus delivered the child, and the disciples said to him, "Why couldn't we do it?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief." Now remember that. Because of your lack of faith, you could not cast this spirit out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then, he said, "But all things are possible to them that believe." Then later, all right, this is coming out of Matthew 17, okay? And now, so later, the disciples came to him and they said, "Why couldn't we do it?" "Because we've done it before. We've watched you do it. You sent us out two by two. We have some of our own experiences. But it just seemed like it's a hit-miss thing." You have any idea what I'm talking about? Okay. It just seems like our faith is some kind of a hit-and-miss thing. All right? So Jesus said very calmly, he said, "Yes." He said, "In fact," he said, "this kind cometh forth only by prayer and fasting." Now, what Jesus was not saying was that, "Oh, you should have just stopped right there. You should have just declared a 3-day fast before you prayed for that boy."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know what? You see an auto accident, a person dying, you'll run over and say, "I'll be back in 3 days. I'm going on a 3-day fast for you." You know, and then I'll come back and pray for you. But what Jesus was saying was they had failed to maintain a life of fasting and prayer. Therefore, they did not have their faith built up.
Yes.
Come on.
You hear me? Their faith wasn't where it needed to be.
Amen.
And he's talking, remember, he said, "How do you know that's where you're talking?" Because the first thing he said was, "You failed because of your unbelief."
Yes.
Then he comes back and tells them, "Now I'll tell you why you didn't believe."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to tell you again. He said it didn't happen because you didn't have the faith that was needed to make this demon listen to you.
Amen.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
And you did not have the faith to make this demon listen to you because you hadn't kept yourself, you hadn't maintained a life of prayer and fasting. You were not prepared for this powerful of a situation. This kind coming forth. But he said, "Well, it's something. You took care of some little things, but when something big hits you, you couldn't do it."
Yep.
Amen.
That's
it.
Little prayer, little faith.
Yes.
Pick that up. Huh? Much prayer, much faith.
Yeah.
Now, what the Lord had put in my son to my heart, but yes, in my heart. Part of the Lord says, "What I say unto thee is I call you into fasting and prayer."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
there is power in fasting.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's a place in fasting. That brings you into a deeper presence of the Lord and a more sensitive place to hear God and a more sensitive place to receive.
Amen.
And to grow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now I'm going to think about my 10 minutes now. Make it shorter. Don't even think about asking me again, brother. Okay. Okay, so let's go to another little church setting. Again, talking to intercessors, but I want to talk to you about another place and how it operates.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Bible says that they were in one place. It said the prophets, some prophets were there. Some teachers were there. Different individuals were there. And they were worshiping and fasting and praying. Remember I said back, and man, I didn't quote that scripture. But Jesus was talking, he said, he was telling people how to act when they were praying. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let everybody know you're praying. I'm praying. I'm fasting. It's so hard. He says they have their reward. In other words, you wanted the admiration of man. You wanted man's attention. He gave it to you. He pat on your back, said, oh, you're really something. Okay, so God said, you got all you need. I'm not giving you nothing else. Mm-hmm. You wanted man to notice you. He did, so now I'm not going to pay attention to you.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Okay. But he who fasts and prays in secret, God will reward. Hallelujah. Now, where in the world was I? Oh, okay. I'm back at this other place, okay, where they were together. And the Bible says, in that meeting, that time, they were in worship. Now, see, worship and prayer and fasting all was running together. Okay? And so, it says, the Lord spoke and said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work unto I have called them.
Yes.
Glory to God. And then it says, with further fasting and prayer, they then anointed them and sent them forth.
Amen.
So we had the service where people were into worship, prayer, and fasting. Mm-hmm. All right, for how long, I have no idea, but. Yeah, but anyways, they were together there. And he said the Lord spoke, and it made the Holy Spirit made a... See, always look and see what all the Holy Spirit said, because he says it for a reason.
Right.
So we say that when he says the Holy Spirit spoke, okay, and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. It's like, well, I wonder what he did. Oh, I wonder what he did. I guess they got a thought. No, remember, it said the prophets was there.
Right.
So he probably spoke through one of the prophets. All
right.
Then he said, separate me out, Barnabas and Paul, for a work I'm calling them on to. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right.
Yes.
And then they had to discern. Bible says, I don't care how. They think they're a prophet. They think they're a prophet. They got a sign. They wear a t-shirt. I'm a prophet. I don't care what all is going on. The Bible says you still test it. Okay? You're supposed to test it.
That's right.
All right. So then it says with more prayer and fasting,
Everybody
thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the confirmation in their own spirits then, all right?
Yes.
And also, who else? See, it didn't say that the pastor was there, the evangelist was there, the apostle was there, it said the prophet and the teacher. Why? Because the prophet and the teacher were very important for what was being done. Somebody was being separated, called out, and sent. Okay, I told you why the prophet was there. You know why the teacher was there? The teacher was there to confirm whether or not what they were about to do was scriptural.
Amen.
That makes a lot of people sick because, oh, God told me, and God told me, and I'm going to do something to that. Did you get confirmation on that? Huh?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to do what? This is what God told me. Seriously? I'd like to see that somewhere. God does that.
Amen.
Okay? So, but they needed the prophet and they needed the teacher to make sure it was correct.
Yes, amen.
Too much of this nonsense of helter skelter, I heard somebody said, da-da-da, goes on and then people get hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
And things fall apart and people get burnt.
Yeah.
And they wonder why, but it's like, brother, you need to check in and take advantage of all the checklist, checkoffs, you know, that's available to you inside the church.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah. To protect you.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
So we see there again where people were in the fellowship interceding.
Yes.
And then when two were being called out, then they interceded to know if that was true. I think I'm pretty close to being done. Let me look at that. I just feel like something I'm supposed to say. I think it's something I already have written down. Churches need their regular call to prayer. Okay? No amount of preaching, teaching, singing, and music or other activities can bring forth the genuine power and presence of the Holy Spirit like fasting and prayer can. That's what prepares you.
Amen.
That's what opens you up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, God has given us three cylinders to run on.
Mm-hmm.
Not four, eight. But anyway, he's given you three cylinders to run on. We've tried running on worship alone. I got goosebump theology and goosebump calling of God. Okay? But no prayer behind it. No fasting behind it. Then we did. Many take it to the next level. We've got the worship and we've got the prayer. And we still get things fouled up. And the Lord says, it'll operate better for you if you can get all three cylinders cooking.
Amen.
Then you have all the bases covered.
Yep.
Now I'm going to ask you, which is easier for you? We're going to worship now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to what?
Amen.
God loves it. Because it commands and demands discipline.
Yes.
If there's anything missing in the church and among believers today, guess what it is? Oh man, they're so undisciplined, it's pathetic.
Amen.
Then they wonder why there's no power in the church.
Come on.
Or at least they know why there's no consistent power in the church.
Yes.
Where two or more come together in my name, touching any one thing, it shall be done for them. I promise this. Where will we be? I just want to say something to the intercessors. Where will we be if it began to fail that the intercessors disappeared from the church?
Yeah.
Where would we be? We need the intercessors.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I believe many have been without intercessors for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe right now, intercessors, like every other gift right now and every other calling right now, is being enhanced, being strengthened, being pulled up. I believe people are being called out. I believe the prophets are beginning to speak. I believe the teachers are beginning to hold people accountable. I believe, you know, I said not so long ago, I printed out a message and was sending it around. And God said, the sin of silence.
Mm-hmm.
While we've been quiet, look what happened to the world.
That's right.
Yes.
While we've been quiet, look what happened to the church.
Mm-hmm.
While we were quiet, look what happened to your families.
Yeah.
The sin of silence. You need to get over it.
Amen.
You need to know the word, defend the word, and live the word.
Yes.
The days of silence are over.
Amen.
You need to get it. You need to get it in gear and start standing up for your Christian faith. All are called to pray,
yes.
But a calling of intercessor is a valuable, important ministry. Call for people to fulfill.
Yes.
There's a call for intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be there when the other guy plays out.
Right.
Yeah, glory to God. Mm-hmm. It's a heartfelt and persistent cry for intervention in a given situation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. One must truly possess the heart of the Father, the compassion of Christ, and a faith that believes that everything is possible.
Yes.
When you get involved.
Amen.
That would be the heart of an intercessor.
Yes.
I'm done. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Now Linda's going to come, and she has a song for you. And I want you just to listen. Listen to these words.
Thank you. My words will stay up there. There you go. Pastor asked me to sing this, and I, to be honest, I'm embarrassed. I never heard it because it's a Twyla Paris song, so it's been out there for a long time. And so I just started singing. And this is really for the prayer warriors that feel like people put you higher than you deserve to be. And sometimes you fall and you go running home to your father. So if this is for you, really listen, take heart to this. Like the brother said, you know, you're called to be an intercessor. I don't feel it on my life, but I'm going to sing this like this is my story. So, but it's your story. So if this is really hitting home for you, just let God do a work in you.
Thank you.
a song. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I've noticed is that it's hard enough to pray, right? To pray for people. But guess who's the last one to get prayed for? Yourself. Yourself is the last one to get prayed for. My wife and I were in Branson, Missouri this summer. And down there, the industry is tourism. And many of the shows, the tributes, whatever, there's pastors, there's pastors' wives, all kinds of worship leaders there. And so we were going into this one theater there, and this lady was showing us to our seats and just chatting with her in the short amount of time to walk, you know. And she said she was a pastor's wife. And so, you know, I said, I have no idea how we got on this. But anyways, I said, well, how are you? And she says, I've got a bad shoulder. Yeah. And I said, well, how long have you had it? And she says, oh, I've had it for 10 years. I said, does your church pray for people? And she says, oh, yeah. I said, do you ever pray for yourself? And she looked at me. And no. So, you know, I believe that there's a lot of people that are faithful prayer warriors that are praying, seeking God for other needs, but yet maybe they've been wounded in a fight. Or maybe they have physical problems and they just need a touch from God. Mm-hmm. Or whatever reason. So tonight, hey, we're here to encourage you. So if you're here and you need a touch from God, I invite you to come. Hey, there's faith in the house. Glory to God. And so if you need something from God, I invite you to come. We'll pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God will answer.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He never fails. He's always faithful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if you're here, you want prayer, come. Hallelujah. Don't want anybody to leave here. Right. Hallelujah. We got lots of room up here. Don't be shy. Hallelujah. Now this is body ministry. So what I want you to do, anybody that's not coming forward, I want you to stretch forth your hand. You know, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. And so we have so much power within us. And so I just want you to release the power of God. Hallelujah. And just let God move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just anoint, Lord God, just to come to your word, Father. God, you said that we could anoint with oil, Father, and God, we can lay hands on the sick, Lord God. Whatever the problem is, Lord God, you are more than enough, Lord God. And Father, you see this brother's heart, Lord God. You see the things he's dealing with, Lord God. But you are greater and you are mightier, Lord God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just ask that you would move mightily, Father. God, that you would touch my brother, Father. And God, that you would just speak directly to him, Lord God. God, that he would hear the word of the Lord tonight, Father. And he would know, Father, that your love just covers him, Father, that wants the very best for him, Father. And God, that you be Lord of every situation, Father, every part of his life, Lord God. And God, we just ask, Father, that you would move mightily, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Father.
Thank you.
And God, you know all things, Father. You know, every situation, every circumstance, Lord, so I'm asking you to be Lord of all these things, Father.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Father. God, your peace would just come. Your peace would come. Your peace would reign on my brother, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Father. So good, Lord. So awesome. So mighty. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.